Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Your heart is pressing. Blinding sunlight. Paddling
stars. From the studios of WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Welcome to a special Facebook Live edition of the program featuring the singer and guitarist Thurston Moore. He blazed all kinds of trails in music with the band Sonic Youth, but even while he was doing that, he had lots of outside projects going. His latest is a solo album that was released last month, and we're going to hear a couple of tracks from it today. It's called Rock and Roll Consciousness. Thurston Moore, formerly of Sonic Youth, now here with us in the Soundcheck studio to play a song called Smoke of Dreams.
Smoke of dreams, they pull you in to the crazy city's dim light, and the silhouettes that fall from grace, and they are laughing in love. Smoking ghosts find pleasure in your funny presence, sweetheart. They risk capture to be crushed, aroused in tune to cheap machine. A flashing time down the street, holding hands on the subway. The smoking spirits, they will take you in. They wait for you in the shadow. New York City is everything. Sing the ghost dance healers. Thank you. smoke of dreams, they pull you in to the crazy city's cool light. And the silhouettes that fall from dreams, they are laughing forever. Smoking ghosts find their way in inside your funny heart, girl. Flashing time down the street, they wait for you in their shadow.
That is Thurston Moore live on Soundcheck here in the WNYC New York Public Radio studios with Smoke of Dreams. It is from Thurston's latest album called Rock and Roll Consciousness. Great to have you back with us here in New York. The song does specifically mention New York City once.
It does.
But the whole song has the air of someone looking at New York from afar.
Sleeping on a park bench.
Now, you're still living in London and have been for a number of years now.
Yeah, but New York is my hometown.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say I live in New York. I mean, I moved here in the spring of 77, and I kind of was sleeping on couches in late 76.
But you know, that song, Smoke of Dreams, I mean, you know, a lot of your lyrics tend to be elusive, you know, and elusive, which is great, which, you know, allows the listener to kind of figure out, well, what is this song about? And for me, it is a song of kind of nostalgia for the city, it seems. I don't know if you were feeling that when you wrote it.
I guess nostalgia is an okay word for it. I mean, I actually pull a lot of the lines from poetry notebooks, from different poems that sort of were written in New York and were inspired about being in New York.
Yeah.
And I sort of put them together in a semi-cut-up way, and it created this song. So it's a pastiche of lines and moments through the years of that songs that words that sentences that were my feelings about New York City. And the song sort of was more about just thinking about like the 1980s, I think, like the early 80s specifically, and being in New York, and just when you're kind of young, and I was in my early 20s, and where your ambitions don't really sort of extend themselves beyond just the next day,
right?
You know, or getting that Monday night audition at CBGB or something. These kind of attaining these goals, and it's like, but the actual real goal is just the journey. I mean, it's just like continuing, and sort of that kind of having that mindset, and not really remembering the poverty so much. But if you do remember the poverty, it's a really sort of New York poet thing of Ginsberg and Kerouac, and where poverty is holy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, so I that's sort of what I'm sort of, I guess, putting in this song, which I've never really played. Like, I just played it. You allowed me to play it without a pick.
Yeah.
I played it with my thumb, and I just never did that ever, you know, even in sitting on the couch. And so I decided to do it just now, and it was kind of
it's beautiful
an experiment.
Thurston Moore gets experimental on Soundcheck. So the album's called Rock and Roll Consciousness, and
yeah.
I, you know, up until the 1990s, the field of neuroscience had very little interest, very little to do with music, and since then, it's just been like, you know, a major target of exploration for neuroscientists around the world. And a lot of it is like dealing with consciousness. What does it do? What is consciousness? What does music do to kind of alter consciousness and stuff? I don't know if any of that was playing into what you were
thinking. If I can really correctly define the word consciousness. I always think of it as this where this sort of pertains to the practice of meditation, where you can sort of attain that relationship between the physical and the metaphysical, and getting into this place where you feel like at one with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all comes from a lot of Buddhist tenets, and those are things that I would read about when I was teaching at Naropa University's summer writing workshop the last 5 years.
Out in Colorado.
Yeah, in Boulder, Colorado. And that workshop is called the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics. It was founded in 74 by Allen Ginsberg and Ann Waldman. And I love the correlation between the underground means of self-publishing and do it yourself,
you know,
and punk rock and that whole thing. And I love the relationship between that literature and rock and roll music, you know, from Bob Dylan to Patti Smith and to so much more.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Anne had asked me to teach at her school, and I eventually did, and I've been teaching there the last 5 summers. This will be the first summer I haven't done it since, and so I was reading a lot of Buddhist texts while I was there, because the school was founded by a Buddhist scholar named Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, who was the teacher for Allen Ginsberg and his Buddhist studies, and as well as Anne Waldman and others, and he's no longer on this planet, but I would see the word consciousness bandied about, dharma consciousness, karma consciousness, you know. And I just was trying to think of, like, without sort of having that authority of the teacher in my life, which I kind of react against. Personally,
to stop being one yourself, but okay.
But I do like the philosophy so much that's inherent in the literature of Buddhism, and that word consciousness was always there. And I was like, where do I find my consciousness? Where's my meditation? And I was like, well, that's what my consciousness is. It's rock and roll consciousness. And that's when I say rock and roll consciousness, I mean, I'm just talking about spirit music. I mean, to me, rock and roll is whatever you want it to be. I mean, so it's like R&B, jazz, hip hop, everything. It's like rock and roll to me is just like, it's all encompassing, you know, it's art, it's all disciplines, you know, it's like, what is rock and roll? It's
Actually, that reminds me, there's a phrase in the song you just sang, Smoke of Dreams, the ghost dance healers.
Well, that's a funny line for you to mention. Well, because there is a bit of a story there. There's a song by the Patti Smith group called Ghost Dance. It's on Easter, I believe. And Anne Waldman, who's a dear friend of mine and a mentor, was having some health issues, and she got through it by really getting involved with music and singing this song Ghost Dance by Patti Smith, and I performed it with her a few times, and we recorded it, and she would play it, and she got through her illness, and it was wonderful. And was it that song that sort of was, instrumental in it? Yeah, I think maybe it was.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
like it was really, it was beautiful. And so in this song, I have this line, New York City is everything, which comes from an actual poem I wrote. And I added, sing the ghost dance healers. And that is from that experience.
I had
working with her. And so for you to bring that line out is... It's funny because I don't think anybody would ever sort of ask me about that question. So now,
well, you know, the reason I did is because, do you know the ghost dance religion, the Native American religion of the 19th century?
Which I think
century?
Patti's song I think is that's, referencing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, you know, it was kind of a striking turn of phrase.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And given what you've just been talking about, it seemed to be part and parcel of, you know, there is some kind of. There's some big thought behind this album, it seems.
Well, rock and roll, spirit music. When I say spirit music, I mean, in America, spirit music starts, you know, with the American Indian, you know.
Uh-huh. Thurston Moore with us here in the Soundcheck studio. We're doing a Facebook Live edition of Soundcheck. He's playing a couple of solo songs from the album Rock and Roll Consciousness. Now, it's a band record. I mean, it's a Thurston Moore record, but you have your quartet.
It's a group record.
Yeah.
I mean, a band record, but it's a group record.
Yeah.
I was called the Thurston Moore Band for a second. Then I was like, no, group is better. Not to keep talking about Patti Smith, but she has Patti Smith Group.
Yeah.
As opposed to Marshall Tucker Band. I'll go group.
Yeah,
group.
Yeah. Group. Okay. Well, it's just you and the guitar here today. You want to do another song for us?
I'll do a song called Turn On. I'll use a guitar pick this time.
How unexpected of you.
I could try doing the thumb thing again. That was kind of curious thing to do.
Yeah.
No, I'll use a pick on this for the sake of confidence.
Thurston Moore performing Turn On live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
oh dear. Turn it on and take us out of here. Turn it up, we're in the red. Bring us back to the free Godhead. Turn on your TV beam. Turn on to the angels sing. Turn on the radio dream. Turn on your Godhead lights.
Once again, Thurston Moore live on Soundcheck, and a song called Turn On from the album called Rock and Roll Consciousness. I can't help but notice that you didn't have to retune between songs.
No.
That's unusual for you.
I've been sticking to this one tuning for in this group for the most part. There's a couple aberrations. There's a song on the record called Cusp, which is a different tuning.
Right. And then there's Aphrodite, which I don't know what the hell's going on there, but you've got like a Hard Day's Night kind of moment at the beginning with these really kind of tall chords, you know?
Yeah.
So what is the tuning? It's an open
the tuning. It's C G D G C D from six to first string. It's a tuning I've used through the years, and I just started writing on it primarily in the last few years. I get locked into it. I mean, I kind of like working in different tunings, and in Sonic Youth, we certainly sort of would go into these different eras of different tunings, and then. I think at first we were really reckless with it. Like, you know, each song had its own tuning.
Yeah.
And then invariably when we would start touring, it's like we had all these like cheap guitars like stuck on stage and in crates and that we'd pull out for every song. And because it saved us from having to tune the one guitar all the time. And then like there's different stresses on the strings with these tunings. So the gauges would always have to be sort of appropriate. All this kind of stuff. You know, when we first started, we would tune between songs and people would have to wait 5 minutes between each weird song. And then I had this idea of having cassettes on stage where I'd play a cassette of, you know, something, you know, through an amp and while we were tuning. And that was kind of cool. And that kind of actually sort of how the record Bad Moon Rising came about. It was like this unbroken tracks. It was inspired by that. Then we were able to sort of get more guitars, and that allowed us to do that. But I was always a little embarrassed by it, especially in the 80s, like when the advent of like young bands were playing like hardcore music, you know, coming out of punk rock and having this really economy of expression.
Right.
It was like one guitar and like this kind of like this one idea of like what a song can be, you know, and everybody sort of adhered to it. And I really liked that community of expression. And I felt like we were just like, you know, this band that was just from the outer limits, and hardcore kids would look at us and go like, "Yeah, artsy bands rule," you know? And I was like, "Oh, no, we're just like you," you know? And, but it was always great running into like-minded groups who were in that world, like the Butthole Surfers or the Birthday Party or Einstairs and the Neubauten. And so that was really always good. And then of course, people kind of started liking what we were doing.
Yeah.
First of all, I was just like, oh man, we're like so like, you know. But I right now I like having one guitar.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense for me. You know, it's less weight you're carrying.
Well, you must have heard the rumors that have been going around for years now about an instantly tunable guitar with, you know, with like an onboard computer that remembers the tuning and adjusts automatically the strings. I'm not interested in that.
Mean, it is kind of like, it would be kind of cool to push a button and all of a sudden that tuning would be in there. But a lot of it has to do, like I said earlier, with string gauge.
Yeah,
like, you know,
right.
And, so it's not going to like change the string for you. I mean, if it's, it's like if you have like a robot guitar tech, it would be kind of cool.
We were speaking with Thurston Moore. His latest album is called Rock and Roll Consciousness. The Thurston Moore Group, not band.
The Thurston Moore Group.
The Thurston Moore Ensemble. Whatever they are, they will be at Bowery Ballroom here in New York on Friday night, July 21st, playing some of the music from Rock and Roll Consciousness. How many guitars will you be touring with?
Well, we'll each have our own guitars. I mean, it would be nice to have at least two each, but we haven't been doing that. It's been one each. So we haven't been playing certain songs that are in different tunings. And I would like to play Cusp live.
Yeah.
Magic drums, your question.
It's a great song. It's the one we heard a bit of just at the top of the segment. We're going to wrap up with Aphrodite. So what are these chords that start the song?
Aphrodite is this chord that goes...
Yes, I know you can play it, but can you tell me what it is?
Those are those chords, and so I had those. I had that chord run just like that, and I was like, "Okay, now I need a song." One thing led to the other, you know.
Yeah. Well, as they say, well begun is half done. So, it's a terrific song. It's a great record, Thurston. It's been a pleasure to have you back here in our New York studio. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Follow us at Soundcheck on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at Soundcheck Radio. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. This session was engineered by Chase Coupon. Light production work provided by the New Sound staff, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us. Pebbles cast and now they tell about the love and